Our first scripture is from Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good. And you will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I've made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations who know you not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. And from Luke 14, when one of those at the table with him heard this, that is Jesus talking of hospitality with humility, one of them said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who'd been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field. I must go see it. Please, excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there's still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited and made excuses will get a taste of my banquet.'" This is the word of the Lord.
So first of all, I just wanted to say, if you weren't at yesterday's ice cream party, you missed a great chabet. You missed the sunshine, you missed the ice cream, you missed meeting new faces, and you missed huddling under the patio tents from the pouring rain. And so, but we had a good time together, and memories are made. And so thanks to the Fellowship and Children's Commissions, I think Missions too, and the staff, obviously, for putting it off. I know it was a big thing, and so we're just grateful for everyone. And for the patio, the tents, for your donations as well. They were crucial to our enjoyment yesterday. So today we begin a new series called This Is Us that communicates the heartbeat of why Washington Community Fellowship exists as a Christian faith community. So if you're new here and you're getting to know us, then this message is for you. And if you have been here for many years, maybe you've been here from the very beginning, this is also for you. Why? Because the elders and I have been working together to refine and rearticulate our vision as a community together. So we want everyone to be clear about why we exist and who we exist for. And so this series is a moment for us to pause, to remember who we are, and imagine who God is still calling us to become as a church community. So over the years here, you've probably heard some statements pretty regularly like these. WCF is a place to vibrant worship, authentic community, personal transformation, and social impact. We try and have been saying that most weeks, and those statements are still true of us. But even if you've been here for years, you probably find it hard to remember even those. Okay, at least I do, and I'm the pastor here. In fact, if I have to ask you to recall them back without those on the screen, maybe I have low expectations. Is that maybe some of us would struggle with that. But if you go on our website and you poked around, you see a list of core values. There's communication, connections, discipleship, diversity, and a few more, like six more. So there's 10 core values on our website. And it's a big core. And if you can rattle them off to me because I couldn't even fit them on the page here, all right, on the screen. So if you can rattle them off to me, I'll buy you coffee after the service. In the recent years, since a season of life at WCF, you know, we've been communicating our mission to nurture this life with Jesus. And so over these summer months, you've probably heard the elders as they've reached out to you, asking you if you've heard these phrases, being formed in the likeness of Christ for the sake of others, or moving from anxious control of our lives to yielded trust in Christ. So these are the kind of the language and phrasing that we've been using more recently to characterize who we are and why we exist. But with all these rich phrases and all these values, we realized we need something a little more simple and memorable. If you look at all those values and statements, I'm guessing you'll probably find something that immediately says, yeah, that's me. That resonates with who I am and what I'm looking for in a faith community. And others of them, maybe it's like, well, that's a bit of a stretch, but I'm okay with that. The reality is that that's a lot of values and phrases. And when you hear vibrant worship, authentic community, personal transformation, social impact, they can be a little more conceptual. They're kind of out here and less personally motivating. When we started talking about rearticulating our vision here at WCF, we wanted something that was less conceptual and simpler. Something that was sticky, something that we could all remember together. So here's the thing. Maybe you've had a chat with someone new and they find out you go to church in a coffee shop or something like that and say, oh, tell me about your church. What would you say in 20 seconds to tell them about WCF? Yeah, and then the conversation goes, what's a Mennonite? Are those like Amish people? And then we go multi-denominational, and then what's multi-denominational? And then we say, oh, the people are really nice and caring, and which we are, and so we're all those things, but is that 20 seconds? Is that a 20-second conversation? So here's where we are. That's why, this part of the goal, okay? Here's where we arrived at for now, and Crystal already said it earlier in the service. WCF is a faith community where people from all backgrounds are formed by Jesus together for others. Okay? WCF is a faith community where people from all backgrounds are formed by Jesus together forever. Can we read that together? WCF is a faith community where people from all backgrounds are formed by Jesus together for others. Some of you are like, this vision statement stuff, it's just all fluff, right? And you just got to say it, and then we'll be doing something else. And that could be true, but I hope it's not. Because I think where we've landed is both accurate in describing who we are now and aspirational in describing who we feel called to be. It names both the reality and our calling. So over the next few weeks, we're going to spend some time breaking down this vision and mission statement and to dream how it might inform who we are as a faith community that gathers here at the 9th and Maryland corner northeast of Washington, D.C. And so today we're going to unpack that first part of the phrase. WCF is a faith community where people from all backgrounds, .. So we're going to take that apart piece by piece in three movements. Number one, a wide invitation. Two, an open table. And three, God's welcome, our welcome. All right? So the text from Isaiah 55 gives us a picture of God's wide and gracious welcome. All who are thirsty, come. All who are hungry, come. All who are laboring for things that do not satisfy, come. Those who are willing to listen to the Lord and eat of what the living God offers, come. God's invitation to all is come. There are no boundaries for who God welcomes to find life with him. Absolutely no boundaries. And as the story of God unfolds, we see that the living God is always at work, reaching out, bringing people in. God creates Adam and Eve. God called Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God delivered Israel from Egypt. God gave the law to Moses. God established a kingdom of majesty under David and Solomon. And yet, with all of this blessing, with all of this life with God, God's people could not keep the covenant with God. They couldn't live in right relationship with God. They could not live faithfully on their own strength. So at the time that Isaiah writes this grand vision of welcome and invitation, God's people find themselves in exile. They're displaced from their homeland. They're dispersed amongst the nations. They are far from God's promised blessing that they imagined for themselves. But the warm words of the Lord here are a promise. They're a promise of restoration, not just for God's people, but for all the nations that come, all who are thirsty. He didn't just say, all you Jewish people, all you descendants of Abraham. It's all. All means all. All who are hungry, all who are thirsty, come and find life with the living God. There are no boundaries for God's invitation. At least no boundaries from God's end. You see, the only boundaries for God's invitation often come from us. From our own pride and self-sufficiency. From our own self-imposed boundaries of whether God exists. Imposed boundaries of who the living God we might imagine him to be. Or who might God be to us. See, for Isaiah and the people of Israel at the time, exile looked like the end of God's story. But God interrupts with an invitation. The words of Isaiah remind us just of how wide God's welcome is. God's welcome and love and blessing is not reserved just for Abraham's descendants, those who are circumcised, or just men who are circumcised. It's not even reserved exclusively for Jesus' followers. God's welcome is extended to all. All means all, right? All who hunger and thirst are invited to find satisfaction in God. Now, in modern America, in our modern society, we may not all hunger and thirst physically, but we hunger and thirst in other ways. We thirst for wholeness in our souls. We thirst for freedom from shame and fear and feeling less than. We hunger to be seen and known. We hunger to not feel alone. We hunger for justice in our world. We hunger for creation that is not destroyed by greed and consumption. So we thirst and we hunger. And wherever you're coming from today, wherever your hunger and thirst might be, the living God extends the most radical welcome to you and saying, come, taste, and see that the Lord is good. I want you to take a moment, even right now. What have you been hungering for? What have you been thirsting for in your life, in your world, in your family? What have you been holding? And I just invite you to name it before God in the quiet of your heart. Say, I come, Jesus. I have this thirst. I have this hunger. You see, if God's invitation is this wide, then our welcome can't be narrow. That's why Jesus tells another story about a banquet. See, in Jesus' day, everyone thought they knew who would be at God's banquet table. The righteous, the descendants of Abraham who followed the law, the religious insiders, those who qualified, those often who look most like us. They're the ones who are going to be at the banquet table. But Jesus flips that expectation on its head. The parable of the great banquet begins predictably. There's some man who prepares a feast. He sends out two invitations. He sends two of them, actually. One is first is a save the date. This is happening. It's going to happen. The second one is on the day of. It's happening. Come on. Come on down. But one by one, the guests who were invited, they excuse themselves. I just bought a field. I just purchased oxen. I just got married. I just got a second home, vacation home, and set up an Airbnb, and it's my side gig, and I need to attend to that. I just met someone. We got married, and we got to go to visit the in-laws here. We got to go visit the in-laws there. I got to take care of my business. Family, work, possessions, all good things, they became more important than the kingdom of God. And here's the shock. Those first invited miss the feast. They're not even at the table. The host isn't postponing the banquet. Instead, he sends servants out into the city to bring in the overlooked, the marginalized, the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. And when there's still room, he sends the servants out past the city gates, those who don't even belong to the city, to the highways, to the hedges, to the ditches, to the foreigners, to the outsiders and the strangers. And he says, compel them to come in, not by force, but with a sense of urgency. This is for you. You're wanted here at the table in the banquet. There is a place for you. That's the picture of Jesus that Jesus gives of God's kingdom. God's table isn't filled with the powerful and the polished and the comfortable. God's table is filled with those we never imagined would be there. Imagine a beautiful white building in Washington, D.C., the White House, hosting a state dinner. Who would be there? You'd expect. World leaders, tech CEOs and business leaders, athletes, maybe UFC fighters now, journalists, all gathered around glittering tables, maybe even in a renovated ballroom. Everyone assumes those are the people who are going to get invited. And maybe they all have a certain skin tone too. Then imagine the president cancels all the RSVPs and instead fills the room with those sleeping outside the MLK library downtown. Invites those day laborers waiting for work at Home Depot, nursing home residents in wheelchairs. Can you imagine that? You don't have to answer that out loud. Because whatever you imagine, that's probably closer to the guest list that Jesus describes. And for us at WCF, this is our vision. Our table must be filled with and reflect God's guest list. People from every background, culture, situation are welcome here. Not because they've earned it, but because Jesus has already made room for them. So the question lingers for us. Who are we tempted to overlook? Who are we tempted to leave off the guest list? Maybe it's not intentional. Who do we assume might not even belong? See, if God's table is wide open, then our welcome must be just as surprising, just as unexpected to the world. So with Isaiah's vision of God's wide invitation and Jesus' parable of God's unexpected guest list in mind, we begin to see what it means to be a community of Jesus followers. Our welcome must mirror God's welcome. Hospitality, you see, isn't just being caring or doing good works for others. Hospitality, it's my conviction, that it's a spiritual practice. Hospitality is how God shapes us. Hospitality rubs against our sharp edges, those things that we put out to protect ourselves, the screens that we lock ourselves into so we don't have to talk to anyone, the earbuds that we pop in, Hospitality nudges us out of our comfort zones and opens us up to curiosity, to humility, and empathy. And as we extend God's hospitality, we actually become more like Jesus. And this is why this vision is baked into who we are. WCF is a faith community where people from all backgrounds. And this is why over the past couple of years post-COVID, we've tried to encourage being together, where we're challenged to rub off some of our sharp edges that we put up against others. So even the phrase, you might say, why do we use the word faith community? That phrase is an act of hospitality. It's not a vagueness. It's not a lack of conviction. See, we could call ourselves, we're a Christian church, we're an evangelical church, we're a Mennonite church, we're a Bible-believing church, we're a progressive church, we're a social justice church, or multi-denominational church. And in different ways, those are all accurate descriptions of who we are. But in today's world, I think those labels often feel tribal. And for many, the word church itself carries baggage. And so I chose not to use church all the time. I don't go, hey, church, are we all glad to be here? Because for many, church suggests cliquiness, hypocrisy, and perhaps even abuse. It doesn't mean we're not a church, but it's an act of hospitality. Faith community signals something wider, that we are a people gathered around a shared trust in Christ. We're not a social club. We're not a self-improvement circle. We're not a political action group. We're a community learning what it means to let faith in Christ shape our lives and change our world. That's the invitation we extend to all. And when we say people from all backgrounds, we mean it. All backgrounds, all tribes, all nations, whatever denomination, culture, political leaning, socioeconomic class you come from, you really are welcome here. You can come as you are, and you are most welcome as you are. Now, if you know WCF's history, you know our founding pastor, Myron Augsburger, was sometimes called the Billy Graham of the Mennonite world, so he extended himself outside of the Mennonite world. But we're affiliated with the Mennonite Church USA. But if you spend enough time with us, you'll probably notice we don't feel all that Mennonite. And that's actually intentional. We value being multi-denominational, even from the very beginning of our founding. And our current elders right now even reflect that. As I think about the traditions that they represent, there's Mennonites, there's Episcopals, there's Baptists, there's Presbyterians and Pentecostals in the room when we sit as elders together. And so that it also reflects our congregation, which includes people from Orthodox backgrounds, Catholic backgrounds, Methodist backgrounds, Lutheran and non-denominational backgrounds. See, our worship and what we do on Sundays, our sacraments, they honor that diversity. We practice both believers' baptisms and infant baptism, depending on and walking with each family as they discern what's most meaningful to express their faith together. But our defining mark, here's what I have to say though, as much as we love this part about us, our defining mark is not multi-denominationalism. It's welcome. We welcome across denominational, political, cultural, and socioeconomic lines. Left and right, black, white, and every shade in between, immigrant, citizen, housed, unhoused, rich, poor, straight, queer, you are welcome here. Your faith in Christ, your story, your gifts, and your vulnerabilities, even your vulnerabilities, they are gifts to us. And together, they help us see Jesus more clearly and help us live more faithfully with him. But here's the thing. Is this community easy? Kind of community easy? No. Is it comfortable? Not always. Is it messy? Yeah, sometimes. But is it good? Absolutely. Will you be safe here? We'll do everything we can to guard against discrimination or being treated as less than. That's what we seek. But I can't promise you that you will feel safe from ideas that challenge you. You will not be safe from ideas that challenge you about yourself, about God, and about how we see the world. And I also can't promise you that you will be safe from the Spirit's gentle prodding, nudging you, all of us actually, from anxious control in our lives towards a life of yielded trust in Christ. Here's the amazing thing about God's gracious and wide and generous love. It welcomes us as we are, but never leaves us there. God's love welcomes us as we are, but never leaves us there. That's how much God loves you and me. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection and ascension invite us into this union with Him, where our lives are hidden in His. And as we share that union, enjoy that union, we become fuller and more truer versions of ourselves. We become people in Christ that we never thought we could be on our own strength. No scrambling for identity, no proving our worth to others, no fencing people off to protect ourselves, because God's welcome is what makes us safe. So wherever you come from, whatever story you carry, whatever gifts you bring, you are welcome here. And your life is a gift to us and to the world. And for all of us at WCF, this welcome isn't just meant to be a statement that we say at the beginning of a service. This is a practice. It's something we do as Jesus followers. So there's two practices that we can do. One is practice humble curiosity towards those who are different from you. Practice hospitality. Invite someone from a different background to a coffee or a meal. Practice listening more than speaking. And you know what? We've got something baked into our rhythm here at WCF. Next week, we have our potluck after the service, right? We have potluck next week? Yeah. Go and sit with someone you normally don't sit with and listen to their story. Second thing you can do, practice prayerful reflection. This week, maybe you could sit with Isaiah 55 each day, hearing God's word. All who are thirsty, come. All who are hungry, come. All who are labor, come, come. And hear God's invitation for yourself. And let that change you. Friends, God's welcome is wide. God's table is open. And as we welcome others, we become more like Jesus. We do that together. And we do that for all. Next week, we'll continue our This Is Us series by looking at the phrase, formed by Jesus. Continue on that journey with us. This is us, and join us together with Jesus' help. Amen.